स्कांथान चार्य शिरभोपार की जय कोटि वैष्णविंद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गिराधा श्री बांसरी गौर भक्तविंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोगोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद श्री गोवरान की जय श्री वृंदावन श्री मथुर धाम की जय नवदीप श्री मायापुर धाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंग मही जमुन मई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय संग वीर भक्त वृंद की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय श्रीमद भगवत धाम की जय जय निताय गौर प्रभानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग ग्लोरीज टू श्री भगवान Hare Krishna. This morning we are reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, entitled Lord Rishabhadev's Teachings, text number 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's in prose, so we won't attempt to chant the Sanskrit. The translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Rishabhadev began to tour through cities. Is it right, Shloka? Is it text? Is chapter 5 or chapter 8? I thought. Chapter 8, sorry. Chapter 8, text 30. Although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother deer in a place known as Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shaligram and to the ashram of Pulasta and Pulaha. Please repeat, although Bharat Maharaj, he received the body of a deer, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone. But he left his mother deer in a place known as Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shaligram and to the ashram of Pulasta and Pulaha. Purport. It is significant that Maharaj Bharata, by the grace of Vasudeva, remembered his past life. He did not waste a moment. He returned to Polaha Ashram, to the village known as Shaligram. Association is very meaningful. Therefore, ISKCON tries to perfect one who enters the society. The members of this society should always remember that the society is not like a free hotel. all the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties so that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee and will also and will be able to return back to Godhead in this very life. Although Bharat Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left his hearth and home, in this case, the mountain Kalanjara. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family and should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness. End of purport. Om agyanam timrandasya agyanam gananshalakaya chakshulamitam tashmai si guruvai namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna pristaya bhutare sima tibakti vidanta swami niti namine namaste saraswati devi gauravani pracharine nevishesha shandavari paschat chatya satarine jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita garadha shivasari gauravakta vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance he became completely detached from all material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother deer in a place known as the Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shaligram, in the ashram of Pulastha and Pulaha. This is a very interesting, very amazing story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of amazing stories. Amazing for us in Kali Yuga anyway, who... This age is very much limited in different scopes, like intelligence, 1/4 of the intelligence that we had in Satyayuga, and abilities for understanding or perceiving, or the actual the quality of life, the quality of the culture, and all things like that. It's all gone. So we think these stories are often classified as mythology because they just don't fit into today's paradigm. But here we see Maharaj Bharat, he actually took the body of a deer because he was remembering the deer at the time of death. The little deer was sitting by him, licking him, probably, because he was affectionate to him. And his heart went there, and Haribol. At the end of the day, where your heart is, you'll go there. Because generally the heart is stronger than the intelligence. So unless you're really, really staunch, you'll follow the heart. Mind is in the heart. Mind and the heart are more or less the same thing. Because the mind, in the mind and the heart, there is the experiences taking place. And after all, life is all about experience. What we want is experience. So that is done through the mind, not the intelligence. The intelligence is a little dry, just analytical. Intelligence is to guide, but the actual feeling is done in thinking, feeling, and willing. Right? That's done through the agency of the mind. So the mind is more important to us, closer to us, because that's the experience we want, and it's the mind that it's coming through. I mean, even if it comes through the other senses, it goes through it's processed by the mind. So therefore, it's generally the mind is stronger than the intelligence. We see this in Kali Yuga, that everyone is following the mind rather than the intelligence. The intelligence is fostering to the mind's desires, but the intelligence should actually be directing the mind. But we use the intelligence to fulfill the mind's desires. This is the unfortunate situation. The driver has let go of the reins. He's lost the reins. And the horses are the senses. We've seen a picture in Bhagavad Gita. So that's the situation. And then and the passenger, the soul, is bewildered. So this all amazing information that we've heard, and for us that are born outside of Bharatvarsha, it's all new, and it's all wonderful things that we're hearing for those of us that are faithful. Then it's super information, wonderful information. We never heard anything like this before. Completely whole new, a new stream of education that we've always been in the mythological section in the university library. So yeah, well, he became a deer. And then the second wonderful thing, which is also quite rare, he actually remembered his previous birth as a deer. So then as soon as he could, he left his mum in the Kalangiyara mountain, which it could have been pretty early, because deers, they're not like humans. We used to have deer here. At one time we watched the deer was giving birth. And then the baby's delivered, and the mother's licking it, and then she's pushing it. Get up, get up, get up. And maybe a tiger come in. And then the deer is up, wobbling, like Bambi. And then she's moving. And 1 hour, that deer is running fast. What a difference, huh? We think we humans are advanced. How long are we laying in bed for? We can't move. A year, right? About a year before we can start. So then they're off, and then they're taking milk, and a little while later they're eating grass, independent. So he may have left home quite a young age. But he actually, he remembered, and he didn't tell the other deer what was going on. He didn't preach to them. Yeah, I'm not going to get involved, because remember he was involved before as a king, and then he became attached to his feeling as duty as a king, as a compassionate person with the poor homeless deer whose mother had left him, and he was helpless, and it was the duty of the king to protect all the praja, citizens. He is a citizen of my country. He thought, not again, not again. And his by his repentance, he says, constant repentance, he became completely detached or absorbed. Detached. So there's a lesson: if you want to become detached, you can become repentant for our previous activities, which brought us into this body again. Oh, what a jerk. I could have done it last lifetime. We could have been back to Godhead in this lifetime, but we accepted another body somehow or other. Oh, what a fall. I won't do it again. It's so troublesome. It's so troublesome trying to become detached. It's so troublesome trying to control the mind. It's so troublesome to try to say no to Maya. It's so, right? But this is, it's always like this. If you're, it's no trouble when you're a karmic, right? Because there's nothing to give up, because renunciation and detachment are not, they don't figure in the paradigm in material world, because for irreligious people, they're considered two-legged animals. So for the animals, there's no austerity, and there's no penance, and there's no all these. It doesn't happen in the animal world. There's no reason, because they're only businesses, eating, sleeping, enjoying and defending. So when we forget the actual purpose of life, then that becomes our focus, those four things, how to do those nicely. And that's what you see in the whole world, is practically like that. Whole world, wherever you go. That is the success or a so-called advancement in life, modern life, is how much facility you have for a sense enjoyment. That means advanced. That means advanced civilization or first world, second world, third world, they call it. How good facility or how much facility you have for sense gratification, then you're classified in like that. It's not a question of who are the happiest people, who are the most satisfied people. It's a question of, you know, who is, because that's the paradigm of the materialist ideas, that happiness comes through stuff, objects, stuff. So the more stuff you have, the more you can actually enjoy. That's what we've been taught. And that's what everyone's believing. So Prat Maharaj wasn't again going to become attached. Just like Jabbarat in the previous chapters, right? No, Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev. Yes, and then he became renounced, and then he was wandering all around the earth, wandering around the place, and people were so mean to him, you know, because he was not following the normal paradigm. You know, he wasn't dressing how people expect you to dress. Prabhupada says you dress how other people want you to dress and you eat how you want to eat. And it's like the whole system, the whole educational system. If you want a degree in the university, you have to answer the questions that they give you the way they want you to answer them, and only then you'll get some title. If you don't do that, you don't get it. In other words, you come out exactly how they want you to come out. So you have to conform to the materialistic society. It's like in this time, it's very difficult to practice Varnashram or Vedic culture. Some things you're not allowed to do in some countries. You can't live simply, too simply. It's primitive. It's unhealthy. It's, you know. So people don't like it when you act in differently or indifferently to them. So even Jabbarat, then he just and the people were so mean to him. And he was, because he was happy. He had a beautiful smile. He's God, you know, incarnation. But he had a beautiful, peaceful smile on his face, and although he had, you know, dreadlocks and dirty and no clothes, but he still appeared beautiful because he was incarnation of the Lord. And they didn't like that. Materialistic people didn't like that. This person's happy, he's beautiful, and he hasn't got nothing. He got nothing, not even clothes. So they said treat him really badly, right? They'll throw all kinds of nasty things on him and harass him. So then he kind of gave up. And he took the occupation of a python, laying down in the 8th canto. Prahlad Maharaj, he tours the world looking for the activate characters of saintly persons. So he finds the most perfect person, and what is he doing? Nothing. He's laying down on the floor. So Prahlad asks, what are you doing? He said, nothing. He said, I can see that, but I mean, you're healthy. And he said, yeah. He said, well, I'm not always laying here. Sometimes when I'm laying here, I'm eating the leaves that blow past. He said, but I'm not always like this. He said, sometimes I'm sleeping on silk beds. People are giving me a nice oil massage and fanning me. And sometimes whatever comes along, you know, whatever I just go along with whatever happens. So he's not endeavoring for material improvement or anything like that. But he's understood. He's, you know, identifying himself not as part of the material world. But this is, you know, it's realization. It's not like us, you know, knowledge, intelligence, trying to focus. You know, we're not the body. We're the eternal servant of Krishna. But this you can't imitate these things. This is from the platform of realization. So he was on that platform of realization. So those things, they really didn't bother him. But he realized it was a waste of time with these people anyway. So the And that's, so he said, you're only going to get what you're due in the material sense. It's, the whole world is karma. There's no chance of lack, materially speaking. The lack, the fortune is when we meet a devotee or Krishna, when something comes from out of the material energy, that's good fortune. Material energy is the whole jagat. It's inauspicious. From Brahmaloka to, practically speaking, from the spiritual viewpoint, it's all inauspicious because it's all temporary manifestation. So even on the very higher planets, where those who are destined to leave, they're just waiting to go out. So it's not a really, it's just like a temporary station here. But those lower than Jnanaloka, they're considering their well-being, their improvement status, and they're enjoying now in the swaga or mahab, especially swaga. But they're only going to enjoy it until their karma is finished, and they come back as a human being. So the life is always risky, but everyone's trying to improve the condition. But for the perfect persons, like Brat Maharaj, then he has no need to fulfill. He's not feeling any lacking. So therefore, there's no desire to improve. That is the platform of Atmarama. But unless you're on that platform of self-satisfaction, then you've got to endeavor for improvement, because it's satisfaction that we want, satisfaction and happiness that we're looking for, because that's the constitution of the soul, sat and ananda, as well as shit. So if we're not experiencing those, then there will be a vacancy there. We will be feeling a lacking. We will be feeling incomplete. So therefore, that drive, the desire, will come to fulfill that. And according to our body and our particular senses, we'll go this way or that way to try to achieve that peace and satisfaction and happiness. But for someone who's actually understood, achieved the goal, achieved self-realization, achieved his relationship, understood his relationship with Krishna, or even himself, then he has no business in the material world. He has no adjusting to do. He has no work to do. Right? Krishna says, for the self-realized person, Bhagavad Gita, he has no duty to perform, nor he has any need not to perform such duty. So whether he acts or not, that's whatever he does is superficial, because he has nothing to gain from it. He said, therefore, but they act according to duty to encourage other people to do duty. But that's the platform of actual perfection. And so therefore, when they're identifying with themselves rather than the material, their material manifestation, or the manifestation of their previous karmas, the body specifically, then they're indifferent to that. So they know that the body is meant for suffering, that's all. It's awarded as a punishment, the body. And birth is punishment for disobeying the laws of God, having a better idea. Huh? So this is actually a punishment, but our paradigm is how to improve this, how to make this punishment, how to make it nice. How to make it free, trouble free, and happy. So this is called Maya, illusion. The body is here for 80 or 100 years, and the adhyatmic, adhidevic, adhivoltic, hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear, all those things. And then you leave it. Then another one, and you try the. We try the same thing again and again and again. This is the problem with material life. There's no solution. There's no material solution. So that's all. It's just fixed. That's just karma. So for that person has realized, or even when he's really advanced in knowledge, really fixed up, he can just tolerate because he knows he's not going to, we're not going to suffer any more than what we do. Our suffering is coming from our previous impious activities. And also the enjoyment is coming from the previous pious activities. The mediums in which we receive them may be varied, but the cause of it is our karma. So even if you don't endeavor for happiness, happiness will come. Just like we don't endeavor for unhappiness. Nobody does, but it comes. Always coming. Similarly, the happiness will also come of its coming of its own accord. So there's no need for that. There's no need for those two kinds of endeavors, which constitutes material life, because people are only doing those two things. That's what life's about. How to improve the material situation, and how to be happy. How to get away from the problems, and how to get close to happiness. Nothing else is going on. Everything falls under these two categories. material life. So when you're actually achieved that, which is impossible, you can't do it materially. How can you? The body is temporary. It has a beginning and an end. But when you do that from the spiritual platform, by mercy of the Lord and his devotees, so then you've achieved that position. If you understand your relationship with Krishna, then you're feeling perfect shelter. It's Krishna, right? And perfect happiness is the reservoir of pleasure. So then you become self-satisfied. You're in your constitutional position. So that desire for that endeavor in the material world to improve things, that won't happen, because now you've got a much. You are actually really satisfied, really happy. So then, therefore, you give that. You can become indifferent to the material world. That's on the platform of realization, on knowledge. Until there's realization, there we just have to act on this knowledge. So here, then, so Bharat here, he as a deer. Then he left home. I went through all that before, that whole thing. I left home before. But still, I got attached again, and this time, so he went back to the ashram, Polastya. It's a beautiful place. Actually, we went there this year with the Sankirtan devotees in Nepal, on the village Shaligram. They call a lot of places Shaligram. Muktinath they call Shaligram because that is the Gandaki River, flows there, Sweta Ganga. Beautiful place. I mean, the whole valley is where the Ganges runs right through. And we went to this place where Polasha Ashram, and where Bharat Maharaj meditated, that cave. Very nice. So he went back there again. The deer went back there and he heard. He heard that. He took Sadhu Sangha and he heard from a distance. Because those ashrams, the people are very gentle, and they'll give the deer some food, or at least they won't chase it away, because the animals and birds are very tame in these ashrams, because the people are very saintly and they sense it, they don't feel danger. So then he could hear, he could get their association, and this way he perfects his perfected his life in the material world. So Srila Prabhupada says in therefore, ISKCON has to. ISKCON. We have created ISKCON, which ISKCON tries to perfect one who enters a society. So the ISKCON ashram gives us shelter from the material world, because it's a society where the only activities should be Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, etc., etc. These nine, a place where you can very easily and very much accessible, you can engage in devotional service. without much hindrance, as far as possible. And that's the perfection of life. So we've been given this wonderful opportunity by Prabhupada's mercy and the different acharyas' mercy. So we should take advantage and not treat it like a hotel. We should actually take advantage. The actual purpose is that we can engage 24 hours a day in devotional service. This is what ISKCON, the facility that ISKCON is offering us. It's a 24 hour service. So it's a very wonderful thing. And it's very simple. I mean, the services that we have there, it's very simple. The life is very simple. So you get the good association with all the saintly persons, and you get the savor. And Krishna provides everything. We see that wherever the temple is, generally that whole area becomes quite opulent. That is our history. So we should be. We shouldn't become complacent that we're doing nicely now. You know, we're living in the society of devotees. We have our place. We have prasadam. But it's something more than that. One has to still have that desire to give Krishna consciousness to other people. Because actually, if one is sincerely following the orders of spiritual master, you don't have to worry about your future spiritual advancement. that's the responsibility of the guru. But the main activity, because all you need to do, you need a place to sleep and something to wear and something to eat, some livelihood. But then our main purpose of the Sankirtan mission is just to get other people on board, to introduce other people to this process, this lifestyle, so that they can also be delivered. That is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Doya. So if one can develop compassion for others, we should understand that we have, Prabhupada said, you go back, if you come in, you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. You bring somebody in, they can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. So it's not an understatement. It's a wonderful thing. It's the most amazing thing that you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime from the material world, especially in Kali. But that is Mahavadanaya. Krishna here is Mahavadanaya. So it's, in that sense, it's not so wonderful because he is the most merciful. He's not given a process of purification and self-realization, and then he's not given that. He's accepting any service that, under any condition. We don't have to wait for purification or liberation. That comes as a byproduct of devotional service. So, because these other systems actually they're not powerful enough in Kali Yuga. The process of karma, jnana, and yoga, that you won't become successful, perfect by following these things. So, understanding that, Lord Chaitanya doesn't even bother with it. You simply do some service, I will accept it. Do it with faith. And we try to develop the consciousness of actually doing whatever we do for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna's devotees, for the deliverance of the jivas. If one is compassionate, then that is the has a jiva doya. The movement is based on that. So if you have compassion for the conditioned souls, compassion begins at home also. We should follow nicely. But if you actually have compassion for those people, that they're all suffering in the material world, and we have the opportunity to create their good fortune by giving them Prabhupada, by giving them Krishna consciousness. We can do that. And that's very pleasing to Lord Chaitanya. And if you actually develop that compassion sincerely, then that's the same consciousness as Lord Chaitanya. That's the same consciousness as Adam. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if there's a heart, if you have a heartfelt need to give these conditioned souls Krishna consciousness, immediately the Dham will be revealed, because you'll be the same consciousness as the Dham, as Chaitanya, because that's his mood. He wants to give the conditioned souls Krishna consciousness. So it's such a wonderful opportunity that we have. Everything is laid down for you. All the questions have been answered by great stalwarts like Jiva Goswami and Sis Goswamis and Vishwanath Chakrabarti, etc. They've all been discussed and answered. All the essence of the Vedas has been drawn and given in the Bhakti Shastras. We just simply have to follow all the work, all the research, all the experimentation. That's already been done by the, you know, Mahajans. So we simply have to take it and apply it. That's all. It's such a simple thing. But we should be very scared of that we don't stray outside of these devotional principles. Prabhupada says all the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties. Although Bharat Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left heart and home. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family. One should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't be captivated by your birthplace and family, which after practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, you'll develop detachment, and we don't feel any different actually when you're living. If you're living in, especially in a holy place like Mayapur, you're living, practicing Krishna consciousness for some years, you don't feel much different actually. But if you go to your hearth and home, you go back to your home, and then you see your friends and your relations, how do you feel? You feel sorry for them? Right? Poor guys. You know. You feel so mundane doing that. But, you know, we was doing exactly the same thing. But then you realize how much your paradigms have changed. And you think, oh, these people are suffering so much. You know? They never talk about Krishna. It's complete nonsense. And you go there and you smile and preach to them. And then you can't wait to get back to the Association of Devotees again. So that's a kind of test, because when you're just living, sometimes you just become complacent living amongst devotees. We don't realize the fortune and our great honor and privilege that we have to be here. So it's good to go home sometimes, to go back in your past and have, oh my God. Then you become convinced that Krishna consciousness is in real life. So that's the sambandha gyan. It's good understanding. You got to have a look at the material world. So that's also give you strength, reinforcement. That, well, I don't want to venture there again. And always stay in the shelter of devotees and by their association, by their kindness. That we also go back to Godhead in one life by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Dai Gopramanandi, Hare Hare Krishna. Any comments on this? Questions on this? Something like that. Echo. I love you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. Well, my question is about Bharat Maharaj. He took the body of a deer, and then he left his deer family and he went to the ashram, and he didn't preach to the other deers.
It doesn't say.
Yeah. So our mood is Gosti Anandi versus Bhajananandi. And Prabhupada, he preached up to the last minute. But I heard recently one senior devotee said Prabhupada wrote one letter and said, or gave instruction that when you have preached sufficiently to his disciples, then you can retire in Mayapur Vrindavan and do bhajan like that. So how do we understand this? Preaching up to the end like Prabhupada or retire? What does this mean?
Well, preaching is your actual advancement. You get more advancement by preaching than you do by solitary bhajan, generally, in Kali Yuga. Because the whole program of Kali Yuga is mercy. It's not your ability, not our ability in Kali Yuga. We don't have hardly any. The whole thing is mercy. But of course, if one is actually really serious, that means they're advanced, and they take to bhajan, no one's going to complain. No one will mind. We'll worship those people, devotees. That when Prabhupada met one yogi, and Prabhupada was glorifying him, how, you know, you've attained the perfection of life, you've renounced everything, you're just engaged in bhajan. And the yogi was glorifying Prabhupada. No, you're doing the real work. You've left this kind of life to go out and give mercy to all the conditioned souls. You're the real sadhu. So they were both glorifying one another. So if it's coming in the heart, I mean, not from the intellect, but if it's actually coming from the heart, no one's going to object if you want to go that way. Nobody will mind. We wish you Hari Bol, very good. Take your dust. When there's attraction there, then you may well want to go that way. When there's when the relationship with Krishna starts to become more apparent, then naturally you want to. That'll be the most interesting thing. So. But from the heart is good, from the intelligence. Gita. Well, he could talk to the other deer, because he said he didn't tell all the others his program. He remembered his last life, but he didn't tell anyone. He just, I'm just going out to nibble some grass, brothers and sisters. And he didn't tell them. This is what it says here. I suppose I would do the same thing, wouldn't you? If you remembered your last life, you know, you was on a very exalted platform and you got attached and you just thought, this is it. I'm just not going to take any chance this time. Became very dear to Krishna. Yes. Yeah, obviously it would. But there's, you know, there's so many wishes we could have. That if you could see your past life, you'd be so grateful, right, to the devotees. You'd fall down and hold their feet and thank them so much. And you'd be so scared of Maya that you'd, if you could see all your previous lives, taking birth, dying, different, it's really, when Arjuna saw all that stuff, he was shaking like a leaf. He saw them in the Visharupa, he saw the cosmic manifestation, how it works. And he was crying. So it would be fantastic if we could. It would become really serious. But Krishna has his way to do it. Kali Yuga, we don't see it. And even the regressions are not reliable. If you go for regression. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but anyway, there's so many things we can say. Why doesn't Vishnu not breathe out anymore? Then all the problems solved. But he does breathe out, so there's so many problems, and we can say, why this, why not, why not, why not, why not? But it's Kali Yuga. But anyway, be thankful for what we got. This you only need faith, that's all. So if we understand in faith what we've been through, and what we're experiencing this lifetime now, and what we've got to look forward to, and the opportunity that we have to achieve that we should be so positive and happy that, you know, you don't worry about those things. So the past is gone. Prabhupada said, you don't worry about, you know, how you got in the ocean. Your main concern is how to get out. So now we have that by the mercy of the devotees. We've been given that opportunity to get out, the process to get out, the understanding of what was going on, the understanding of real life, and the understanding of the boat or the process to reach that. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Who could ask for anything more? So simply take that. You've got the opportunity, so it doesn't matter why Krishna's he's a Sarat, he's completely independent. I mean, if you were God, you would have done it a different way, but this is how Krishna's arranging everything. So that we can't really question why. You just have to accept what is. But it would obviously be better. So many things would be better if so many things we could have to improve, but Krishna says this place is Dukkalaya. It's created, it's a problematic place. So we can't say, oh Krishna, please, you know, I'm having problems here. Please resolve my problems. It doesn't make sense to pray to Krishna to remove your problems. Better than praying to a doctor, of course. But it doesn't make sense to say, Krishna, remove all the problems, because he said, this is the material world, it's a problem. You go there to get problems. And you're saying, Krishna, make an exception for me. Change the universe for my, because I don't like it. You become God, you create your own planet. Become a mystic yogi, you can create your own planet. And maybe you can manage there also if you want. I don't know. Then people come and complain to you, why don't you do this, why don't you do this? Well, if Krishna made it too obvious, then you'd follow him without love, bhakti. So that's one thing also. Okay, last comment from our... Exactly. Yeah, you gotta have the reverse effect. I could have the reverse effect. Sorry, I'll tell you a story afterwards, a real story. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sarvabhada ki jai, Tayo Premanandi.
আমরা ভক্তি করছি, সেবা করছি, কিন্তু এখানে একটি কথা আছে, সেবাটা কি আমি আমার মতন করে করব নাকি কারো আনুগত্য করব? যতক্ষণ না আনুগত্য স্বীকার করা হচ্ছে ততক্ষণ সেবা হলো না, মনে মনে মন খোলা খাওয়া হলো। তুমি যা করছো তার জন্য কিন্তু তোমাকে তার ফল পেতে হবে। তাই অর্জুন তিনি আনুগত্য স্বীকার করেছেন, তিনি কৃষ্ণকে বলছেন, হে কৃষ্ণ আমি এখন কি কর্তব্য বিমূঢ়, আমি তোমার শিষ্য।